The Gemara in Avodah Zarah in Daf Ayin Hei Amud Beis makes a comment that Klesuda Amurim Beparsha, that the Pasuk in Parshas Matos implies that the only types of kelim that are chayiv in Tevila, if one acquires them from a non-Jew, is Klesuda. And we started describing on Thursday what exactly Klesuda means. It certainly refers to kelim that are used in the serving of the food at the meal, but it might even apply to kelim that are used in the preparation of the food. That's also Klesuda. We mentioned that there are different discussions in the poskim, different situations that the poskim are not so clear that certain kelim fall under the rubric of klesuda. Take, for example, a kli that is used in the preparation of food, but the food is still mechusar tikkun. It still requires further tikkun in order to be edible. Let's say you use it before the process of bishul or tzli, afia. So is that considered a klesuda, or do we say that since the food is not roi lachila after using that kli, maybe it shouldn't be called klesuda? It's a big discussion in the poskim, and we discussed under what circumstances would you be tovel without a bracha, under what circumstances would you be tovel with a bracha. We talked about that at great length. And then we discussed kelim that serve no function, kelim that are used with the food, but they don't really serve a function for the food. We mentioned some of the poskim discussed chavios yayin, storage containers, a storage container of wine, or we said the salt shakers and other things. When do those require tefillah? When do they not require tefillah? And then finally, we mentioned the shayla of the poskim related to toasters, not toaster ovens, but toasters that are used to toast bread. Is that considered a kli that doesn't serve any function because the toasting is not really necessary to make it edible? Or do we assume, no, that is a function, and therefore the toaster would taka require tefillah? There's a shayla what to do with it. Obviously, you can't just immerse it. It would be difficult to immerse. It might ruin it. So we discussed what a person could do to be tovel the toaster. Okay, these are some of the shaylas that we discussed on Thursday related to the concept of klei seuda. Another issue that the poskim talk about is that a kli can be called klei seuda only if it touches the meichel. Meaning, even if a kli is used in the preparation of the food, maybe the food is roi lachila after this kli is used, but if it doesn't touch the meichel, it can't be called klei seuda anyway. What's the source for that halacha? So this is a psak in Shulchan Aruch. Take a look at the Shulchan Aruch. Let me screen share with you. Take a look in Shulchan Aruch in Yaredei and Simen Kuf Chaf Siv Dalit. Shulchan Aruch says tripidish. That means a tripod. Sheshov sim aleim kedera. That we put the kedera on top of the tripod. Einam tuunos tevila. Doesn't require tevila. Aval fidilish, whatever that is. Well, the Shach explains, right? Fidilish tuunos tevila mineshin nostim aleim hamaychal atzma. Fidilish requires tevila because we put the maychal on itself. So the Shach explains a little bit more. Mipneshet sol in olav mamash ha'ochel. Fidilish somehow is used in the process of roasting. So since we put the meichel directly on the fidilish, so therefore the Shulchan Aruch says that it requires tevila. You see, the Shulchan Aruch is saying that even though the tripod is necessary to help cook the food, you're cooking the food in the kedera, but the reality is you can't put the kedera on the ground. You have to put it on the tripod. You have to put it on something that's going to have a fire underneath it. So the tripod is necessary. It's a necessary ingredient, necessary part of the mechanism that's going to cook the food, but it's not touching the food. So it comes to Shulchan Aruch and says, quoting from the smak, that's not called klei seuda. This is another yisod. What's the basis for this? Why shouldn't we call it klei seuda? After all, it's used in the preparation of the food, and the food is roi lachile after we use this kli, so why shouldn't it be called klei seuda? So the Bira Gura in Sivkot and Yud invokes the Rashba in Bedek HaBayis that we mentioned last time. Right, we said, what is klei seuda amurim b'parsha? How do you see that klei seuda amurim b'parsha? The Torah mentions klei seuda, doesn't use the word klei seuda. So we said this in the Machlokas Rashi and the Pri Chodesh. Rashi says that since the Pasuk writes, kol davar she'yavo ba'esh tavir ba'esh v'taher, the only kelim that are used in fire are klei seuda. That's the only kelim. So only klei seuda achayiv in tevila. So we mentioned that the Pri Chodesh was troubled with that. He says, it's not true. There are many other kelim that are used in fire. Dafka klei seuda used in fire. He says he thinks what the Rashba writes in the Torah Sabayis is more correct than Rashi. The Rashba says that kol davar she'yavo ba'esh tavir ba'esh V'taher means what? It means that Dover Ashiyava Ba'esh requires Hechsher Ba'esh, something that's used in the fire requires Hechsher Ba'esh, it needs Libun, and it requires Tevila. What does that mean? What requires Hechsher Ba'esh? Dr. Rashba, only Klei Suda, only something that touches the food. If it touches the food, then there's a Blia, and if there's a Blia, then you're going to require Libun in order to be Machsherit. So comes the Vilna Gaon and says, that's the basis of this smack about Tripidish. So take a look in Bir Aggressive Kut and Yud. He says, Tripidish doesn't require tefila, aval fidilish does. Kama shakasav sham, klei suda amur beparsha, upirish arash, bedachsiv kol ashayyavu ba'esh, tavir ba'esh, v'chulei. Eze dover sheba ba'esh, tzorech lachshir ba'esh, ze klei suda shebolea. Nashen kenkan, de'ena bolea, kama shtei kederis. There's a famous principle in Yeridea, in Hilchos Tarovis, that if you have two kelim that touch each other, there's no blia between the kelim. Metal to metal doesn't create a blia. Food to metal creates a blia. Solid food to metal creates a blia. Liquid to metal creates a blia. That's why there can be a blia from the inside of the kedera. But let's say if you're cooking something in a kedera, and then another kedera. Let's say you're cooking some kind of a fleshig cholin, right? And there's liquid in the pot, and then a milchig frying pan touches the outside of the fleshig pot, completely cold. Right? Completely dry. It's not cold. It's hot. Completely dry. Kedera to kedera. So we assume there's no blia. We assume there's no blia from kedera to kedera. You need some kind of a medium, some kind of a liquid medium, or at least a solid food has to touch the kedera directly. So comes the Bir Aggadah and says, based on the Rashba, we can understand why the tripidish is not going to require tefillah, because the food is not touching the tripidish, it's not going to get to the tripidish. And the only kli that's called klei suda, according to the Rashba, is a kli that would require hechsher. That means a kli that the food is going to touch literally. Okay, so this is the source of the sheet of the smak, that if the kli doesn't touch the food, even if it's involved in the food preparation, and the food is going to be roi lachila at the end of the usage of the kli, nevertheless it doesn't require tefillah. Now, this is also mashma from Tosfos. We had this before, Tosfos in Avodah Zarah and Dafayin Heyamud Beis, when he talks about the kelim that are mechushokim bebarzel mibachutz. We had a whole discussion in the Rishonim. What's the din if you have metal supporting the kli? The kli is a kli eitz, let's say, or a kli cheres, and the metal is supporting the kli from the outside. So when it comes to tumah v'tara, we follow davar hamamid. We follow the support that defines the kli. So the question is, when it comes to tefilas kelim, what defines the kli? What defines the kli? So comes Tosfos. Right? If you take a look at the screen share once again, just to familiarize ourselves with this again, right? Tosfos Tosfos says in Dimaskol v'Hilchasa, right? Talking about the kelim that are coated in metal. So he says, "V'chein kli eitz hamechushakim soved barzel mibachutz afilu l'man da'amar kol holeich achar hamamed ein tzrichin tevila." Even according to the Mandam, when it comes to Tumah V'Tara, we follow the Mamed. Here, it doesn't require tefillah. Why? Kevan de'ein mishtamshin b'hen derech ha-mateches. You're not touching the mateches. Is not touching the food. And who cares that the mateches is not touching the food? But the kli has metal in it. If we follow Dover Hamamed, it's an ikra of the kli. So what does it matter that it's touching the food? Zaptos is the klei suda amur b'parsha hanush mishtamshin b'hen. When we say the klei suda amur b'parsha, that means mishtamshin b'hen, that you're using the kli, that it's touching the food. If it doesn't touch the food, there's nothing to talk about, he says. If it's not touching the food, there's nothing to talk about. Okay, this is Tosfos Shita. So this is similar to the smak. The smak says that if it doesn't touch the food, it's not called klei suda. Now it's interesting. If you just saw Tosfos, so you might get the impression that this should be a machlokas rishon, because the reality is, you mentioned that the Mordechai quotes a Maram Rutenberg who disagrees with Tosfos. The Maram Rutenberg says we do go baser hamamid. Remember, Maram says that even if the metal is only supporting the kli, we follow the mamid, because he compared kli le'inyan tumah v'tara to kli le'inyan tefilas kelim. We had a whole discussion about that in the Rishonim. The Shev Yaakov got into the act, and the Chelkas Yoh and the Chelkas Yaakov had many tshuvas where he assumed that there's a connection. So it's not so pasha that Tosfos is right. In fact, what's so interesting is that the Shulchan Aruch quotes Tosfos and doesn't mention the Maram Rutenberg at all. The Shach is troubled by this. Right? The Shach is troubled that In Shulchan Aruch, let's see. Just 1 second. Oh. The Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch and Siv Vav. Shulchan Aruch writes, "Kliyet sheyesh lachashugim shel barzel mibachut shemamid nosso eino ton tefila." Shulchan Aruch paskins like Tosfos with no discussion. Doesn't mention the Maram Mirutenberg at all. So the Shach there says, "I don't understand why he doesn't mention the Maram Mirutenberg. It's a shailin poskim, so we should be tova without a bracha. So tova without a bracha." The Shulchan Aruch is, the Shach is saying, "Lemaisa, if you have barzel that's supporting the kliyetz on the outside, you should be tova without a bracha. So why shouldn't the tripidish require tevila without a bracha too? So what that it's not touching the ochel?" The Shach says that we have to be machmer for the Maram Mirutenberg. The answer is poshit. The Maram Mirutenberg and Tosfos are only talking about a certain type of kli. What are they talking about? Help me now. What are the Maram Mirutenberg and Tosfos talking about? Talking about a kli that's made out of what? Made out of eitz, but it's being supported by barzel. And the eitz and the barzel are together. They're joined together. So if the eitz and the barzel are joined together, comes the Maram Mirutenberg and says, "Well, we follow Dovr HaMamid for Tumah V'Tahara, so here we should follow Dovr HaMamid as well." The case of the tripidish is different. Even the Maram Mirutenberg would admit that the tripod is not considered a clay suda. Why? Why do you think? Why do you think? Anyone? What's the difference between... Yes, Rafi.
Because you're eating directly out of the kli eitz with the metal around it, but you're not eating. You know, there's no blia involved with the tripodish.
But with the metal around it, there's no blia on the metal. There's only a blia to the wood. So why should the metal around the kli eitz make a difference?
Because the metal makes sure that the kli stands together. It's a necessary.
What are you saying, Rafi? What you're basically saying is that the metal and the wood are one unit, right?
Yeah.
The metal is helping the eights keep together. It's supporting the eights, and it's one unit. That's the yisod. The smak is saying that the case of the tripidish is something independent of the kli that has the food in it. The kli that has the food in it is not the tripod. The tripod is an independent unit. So because it's an independent unit, since it doesn't touch the ochel, that's not called klesuda. That's the yisod of the tripod. So that has nothing to do with the shach. The shach would admit that in the case of the tripod, you don't need any bracha. If the kli does not touch the food, there's no chelek of the kli that touches the food. Even if the metal doesn't touch the food, there might be a chiv of tefillah without a bracha, as long as it's one unit with the other parts of the kli. But if the kli doesn't touch the food, there's no chelik of the kli that touches the food. It's that the kli that touches the food sits on it. So that's not enough to be called klei suda. That's the yisod of the case of the tripod, the Shulchan Aruch, b'shem the smak. Okay? Okay. What's the nafkamina lemaisa that comes out of this? So one of the classical examples that the poskim discuss that highlight this yisod is the difference between oven racks as opposed to grill racks. Right? The way oven racks are made, in most circumstances, you're going to be putting pots and pans on top of the oven racks. You're not going to be putting food directly on the oven rack. So because you're not going to be putting the food directly on the oven rack is really the same as a tripod. That's why oven racks do not require tefillah. Right? Person purchases a new oven, right? Let's say from a non-Jewish company, a company owned by non-Jews. He doesn't have to be tovel the oven racks because he's not going to be putting the food directly on the oven racks. I know some ask, but you know there are times a person makes pizza directly on the oven racks. You know, you'll put a piece of aluminum foil down. You'll put the pizza directly on the oven rack. It's like a brick oven pizza. You know, like it gets hotter on the bottom. It'll be more tasty. So maybe that should make the oven rack like a clay suda. We'll see in Mitzvah Hashem that's not going to make it into a clay suda because it's not rov tashmisha. It's not the normal usage of the oven rack. In most circumstances, you put your pots and pans directly onto the oven rack. You don't put the food on the oven rack. So that's why the oven rack does not require tevila. But a grill rack? A grill rack absolutely requires tevila. A person goes out and buys a grill. He has to be tovel the racks. You got to be tovel the racks. It's no different than a pot. Because you're going to put the whatever you're going to have, the franks and the hamburgers, whatever you're going to be cooking, you're going to put it directly onto the grill rack. So it's no different than a pot and a pan, since you're cooking directly on the rack, so that's going to require tefillah. That's going to require tefillah. And just parenthetically, we mentioned that even if you're going to use aluminum foil between whatever rack, the oven rack or the grill rack, it's not going to change anything. Aluminum foil is not considered a mafsik. We mentioned the tefillas kelim, quotes poskim, who say that this is just a liner. It's not parchment paper and aluminum foil. That's not considered significant. So the fact that you have a liner between the oven rack or between the grill rack and the food, that's not going to make a difference. Since you're putting the food directly on the grill rack, that's going to require tefillah. And in the case of the oven rack, since normally you don't use it to put the food directly on the oven, it's not going to require tefillah. It's not going to require tefillah. I saw a hand up. Okay. Another example of this discussion that if the item does not touch the food directly, doesn't require tefillah, is the glass tray on a microwave. Glass tray in a microwave. What's the din? Does that require tefillah or not? So it actually depends. What do you think? What should it depend on? It depends how you cook in the microwave. You know, if you're in the dormitory and you'll put a piece of kugel directly on the glass tray, you know, people do that kind of thing. Not directly on the glass tray, but you know, you put like a napkin or something. You put a napkin on the glass tray, and then you'll put your food directly on the tray. Then that tray might require tefillah. Might require tefillah because the napkin is not considered significant. But if you're going to put even a paper plate, put something on the paper plate, you put something on a regular plate, microwavable bowl or something, you'll never put the food directly on the glass tray, so then the glass tray does not require tefillah. I know, I'm familiar, and I think in the dormitory it's very common that people put their food more directly on the glass tray. I'm not saying literally onto the tray, but you know, it's more Hamish, or whatever you'll call it, right? You know, they'll put a napkin there. I mean, obviously, we're using it only for milchigs or for fleishigs. You can't, if you're going to use it for both, you have to kasher between the two, and it has to be clean, and that's much more complicated. But let's assume you're always going to use it for fleishigs. It's a fleishig microwave, let's say. So does it really matter? Right? It's not, you're not going to want to put it directly on the glass, but you put a piece of toweling down, a piece of tissue paper or something. People do that. People do it. It's a pretty common thing in the dormitory. I think in most homes, it's not done. In most homes, we're going to put something on a plate. So if you put it on a plate, even a paper plate, I think a paper plate is different than parchment paper or foil. The aluminum foil and parchment paper, that's really not significant. But a paper plate is a plate. So whenever you put something on the microwavable tray, you're going to put a plate down and put it on top of the plate, then the glass does not require tefillah. It's probably kedai when you get a new microwave to be tovel that glass, because you don't know what the future is going to bring. You don't know what people are going to do, right? I'm not saying that if they do it once or twice, it's going to be a problem. If that's not the normal way that it's used, it really doesn't require tefillah. But you don't know. It's always kedai to be tovel, just in case you change your mind, and just in case a person, some of the kids in the family are gonna put things directly on the glass tray, and they're not gonna use a plate. But that's another example of something that might not be viewed as klei suda, because in normal circumstances you might not be using that kli directly, right? Using the kli in a way that it's gonna directly touch the food. Okay, questions. Okay, another shaila that the poskim mentioned is the case of kisui kedera. Now, we know a kedera certainly is chayiv in tefillah because it touches the food. It aids in the bishul process and the preparation process. What's the din of a kisui kedera? I mean, the kisui kedera, what's it doing? Is it really touching the food? Not really. You have the food down there. You have the macaroni or the cholin cooking. It doesn't touch the kisui. Right? It doesn't really touch the kisui. So, like, is it chayiv in tefillah? So the Ramah has an interesting comment. Take a look at the screen share. Ramah. No, just one second. Okay. Can you see this the screen share? Thumbs up? Jacob Dower, can you see it? Yeah, okay. Okay. So the Ramah. The Ramah at the end of Sif Hei. Ramah says, "Aval kisui kedera tzarech tefillah." Kisu Kedera requires tefillah. He says certain things don't require tefillah, but Kisu Kedera does require tefillah. Why? Why should the Kisu Kedera require tefillah? Hagos Ashri, says the Rambam. So comes the Vilna Gaon there in Bir Agra, and he says, you know why the Kisu Kedera requires tefillah? This is in Bir Agra, Sifkat and Tezvav. The Hamarak Ve'azeya Ola Lekisu V'Hava Lekikedera. Because the marak, the soup, and the zeya, he says, the zeya, the steam, is going to go up to the kisui. So it's like the kedera itself. All right, remember, he quotes that gemara in Perek Kalabasa Chafei, b'shenir v'kisui, remember that complicated gemara in Daf Kuf Ches and Mebeis? Okay, we're not going to go back to that right now. Right, but remember Tipas Cholov that fell on the basar, they're talking about b'nir, v'kisui, etc. So the zeya is going to go up. So says the Vilna Gaon, that's why the Kisu Kedera requires tevila, because it's going to touch the food, it touches the Zeya, so therefore that's significant. The Chelkas Binyamin, I mentioned this last week, Chelkas Binyamin, written by Rav Binyamin Cohen, Rav Fivel Cohen's son, a very beautiful sefer on Inyani Macholei Akum and Tevilas Kalim and Heksher Kalim. So he says, if you look at the Hagos HaShri, if you look at the Or Zeruah, that's the source of the Hagos HaShri that the Rama quotes, he doesn't quite say what the Bir Agra says. The Or Zeruah gives a different reason why you have to be tovel the Kisu Kedera. He says, you know why you have to be tovel the Kisu Kedera? Sharehu misayeya levashel kiyora atzma. Because it helps in the bishul. And if you don't have the Kisu Kedera, so then the food is not going to cook properly. It maintains the heat, and it somehow spreads the heat evenly. The kisui is necessary in the process of the cooking. Not quite what the Vilna Gaon says. The Vilna Gaon seems to say that what the Or Zeruah holds is that the food touches the Kisu Kedera Mamash, so that's why it's Chayv and Tefillah. Comes the Chelkas Binyamin and says, if you look at it carefully, he doesn't really say that. He says that the Kisu Kedera is Misayeh in the Bishul, it helps in the Bishul. Why does he have to say that? Why is it necessary for him to come on to this other Svar? So the Chelkas Binyamin wants to suggest that maybe what the Or Zeruah was concerned about is that the Zeya and Hevel is not really significant. Steam and, you know, the heat that comes up from the food, is that really significant? That's not the real food. The food's in the pot. It's not really going up to the kisui. Sometimes it's going to spray up to the kisui. That's not significant. The Or Zeruah felt that that's not significant. If all we're going to rely on is that the food is going to go up, is going to go up to the kisui and touch the kisui because the hevel and the zeya are going up, that's not a davar choshev. So why should I have to be tovel the kisui? So that's why he says no, because the kisui is necessary in the process of the bishul. So because the kisui is necessary in the process of the bishul, even though it doesn't actually touch the food, maybe whatever touches the kisui is not considered a davar choshev, it doesn't matter. It's considered part of the kedera. It's considered part of the kedera, and the kedera does touch the food. So even if a chelik of the kedera is not touching the food, that's not significant. The fact is the kedera is touching the food, so that's why it's going to require tevilah. Okay, so the Kisu Kedera does require tefillah, but there are different reasons that are given to try to explain why it should require tefillah. Okay, questions. Okay, finally, right, the last point in this segment discussing Klei Suda.
You asked a point about the microwave.
Yes, who's talking? Jonathan Crane?
Yes, hello.
Yeah, Jonathan, what's up?
I was going to ask for the microwave. If you don't actually need to do tefillah for that, for the plate in the microwave. So therefore, you were fine. You wouldn't need to do tefillah because you don't actually use it. You usually just put a kedera on top of it. But if I'm going to say that I still want to do tefillah on it because I'm scared someone may use it without a plate, so then would I make a bracha on that? Or
better not. Better not. That's a good question. Better not. Better not to make a bracha. Better to be tovel it together with something else that's definitely chayiv and tefillah. Make a bracha on the other thing and pot to the glass. I would not be tovel with a bracha because, as you're saying, it's a suffix. You're really being tovel because you don't know what's going to be in the future. What happens is things change, situations change, but no one remembers if they were tovel, were they not tovel, so it's always better to be tovel from the beginning, and then a person knows, look, I was tovel, even if I change my mind and we start to put a little bit of kugel or something, something else, you know, you could put a pretzel, right? You put a hot pretzel on the glass. It's not disgusting to do that. So there are many people who will only put it on top of a plate. But there might be some people who will put it directly on. So it really depends what you're going to use in the microwave. So it's kedai to be tovel the glass tray from the beginning, because then you know that it's toveled already. But you are right, Jonathan. Better to be toveled without a bracha, or to be tovel with something else, make a bracha on the other thing and part of the glass tray.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Can we compare this to the Kesar or Moshe with the toaster oven, with the toaster, not the toaster oven? Because we're not cooking any, I mean, at least I feel like majority of people don't cook food. It's mostly taking prepared food and just making it hot, or like in the case of a toaster, just, he said, didn't Rav Moshe say we're not chayav tefillah because we're just taking bread and we're making it warm and we're not changing any tzitzis in the food?
Rav Moshe didn't say that we're just taking bread and we're just making it warmer. He said the toasting process is not necessary. I think warming up food is different. I think there are people who feel that the food is not roi l'achila unless it's warm. There are some people who enjoy cold food, but many people enjoy only warm food. So if a person is only going to eat the warm food, then you really are making the food edible by warming it up. And before you do that, it's not really roi l'achila for you. So I think it might be different than a toaster. It might be more chamer than a toaster. Okay? Yes, David Mirsky.
I just wanted to ask about the microwave. Rebbe said that if you cook food in a microwave, if you cover it with a paper plate, then like if you put the food on the paper plate and you microwave it, then it doesn't require tefillah. What happens if you accidentally put the food on the microwave and it starts warming up? Like, what's the din of the food?
The food is mutter. We mentioned a couple of shiurim ago a very important yesod about tefillas kelim, and that is, first of all, one is not allowed to use the kli even one time without tefillah, if you intend to use it for a purpose of klei suda. But if you use the food, if you use the kli without tefillah, it does not prohibit the food. That's a yesod. It's a very important principle. Many people think that, well, if I use a non-kosher pot with my kosher food, it's going to aser the food. So maybe over here it should also aser. The answer is it does not. It doesn't ask for the food because there's no blia. We're not talking about a blia over here. So that's an important thing to keep in mind. Not everyone agrees. There are shitos yochid that hold it does ask for the food because that was the takonas chazal. But we paskin like rove poskin, rove rishonim, who assume it does not ask for the food. So in that case, it's not going to be a problem. I'll go even further. If you only use it one time, if a person only uses it one time and rove tashmisha was not for that, it might not be a problem anyway. And that's really the next issue that I wanted that I want to address with you. Right? We're talking about clay suda. So we're going back and forth. We mentioned this idea a few times. Do we follow Rove Tashmisho? Or does it have to be, you know, cold Tashmisho? Let's say I use something with food only once or twice or something. I normally use it in a way that I'm not touching the food, but a couple of times I will touch the food, like the oven racks. The oven racks normally are used with a pot on top of them. But sometimes maybe I'll put pizza with a little aluminum foil separation, which is not significant. So what should I do? If I'm, you know, let's say even, I don't know, once a week I'm going to make pizza. Every night I use the oven rack with a pot. But once a week I'm going to make pizza on the oven rack. So that's certainly not Rove Tashmisho. So should I say, well, because I'm using the oven rack directly with the food, so therefore it should require tefillah? Or perhaps it shouldn't require tefillah? Let me give you another example. Shaila's raised, let's say a person wants to use a pocket knife to peel his apple. You know, he's out with the Boy Scouts on a hike, or he's in camp. I hope Mitzvah Hashem will be able to go to camp. So he's out, he wants to use a pocket knife to peel his apple, or to do whatever he's doing with food. Now, what does he normally use his pocket knife for? He doesn't use the pocket knife for food. He used the pocket knife, you know, to chisel away the bark of a stick or something. That's really what the pocket knife is used for. It's not used for food. Invariably, you know, every so often a person will use it for food. So does that require tefillah? Does the pocket knife require tefillah? Because it's klei suda. You're using it on the food. Or should I say, no, we follow Rove Tashmisho, and because Rove Tashmisho is not with food, then it's not called klei suda, and it shouldn't require tefillah. So this is a major discussion in the poskim. Let's take a look at the Shulchan Aruch. Okay?
Your Rabbi?
Yes.
When we define use for food, do we define it as the societal use for food or individual? So if like that one boy always uses his pocket knife for like cutting apples, wouldn't that be tovel? Or if everyone in society uses it?
Yes. No, I think it's a subjective thing. It depends on the person. And we'll see from the quote of the Shulchan Aruch, you'll see it's a subjective thing, that it really depends on the person. Let's take a look at Shulchan Aruch. Okay? So the Shulchan Aruch in Sifches. This important piece, a very important piece, that is really the transition from the sugya of Klei Suda to the next Suda that we're going to talk about, and that is the types of kinyana that are chayev in tefillah. A person is acquiring from a non-Jew, so what kind of a kinyan? What did he acquire it for? This is the sugya that really, this is the question that really serves as a bridge between the sugyas. So let's see this Shulchan Aruch slowly. It's going to help us for the next sugya as well. Shulchan Aruch in Yeridei Simin Kuf Chaf Sifches. Someone who, let's say, borrows a kli. Okay? Borrows or rents a kli. Let's talk about borrowing. Someone borrows a kli from a non-Jew. So the Shulchan Aruch says it doesn't require tefillah. Right? Because the kli is owned by the non-Jew. It's owned by the non-Jew. Then, I mean, we talked about a shutvis. Having a shutvis, that if the guy has a shutvis in the kli, it also doesn't require tefillah. Certainly if the guy owns the kli, and you're only borrowing it from him, it doesn't require tefillah. Avol, says the Shulchan Aruch, in Yisrael kanao mehaovik al-chavim, v'shilo l'chaveiro ton tefillah. But let's say the Yisrael acquires it from a non-Jew. He acquires it from the non-Jew to use for Klei Suda. It's a pot and pan. He's gonna use it for Klei Suda, mamish. But then he lends it out to his friend. So that's ton tefillah, shekva neschayev biyad harishon. It's neschayev biyad harishon because he bought it to serve as Klei Suda. That's a simple case. Because the second guy is borrowing it from someone who already was chayv and tefillah. So if the first person is chayv and tefillah, then the second one is not allowed to just use it without tefillah. The first one is chayv and tefillah, so avada, he's not allowed to use it without tefillah. The Yesh Bishomer says the Shulchan Aruch, Shem lo lako harishon letzorach su'uda, ela lachtoch klafim, uchayotzi bo ein tzorach latbilo. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Yesh Bishomer, who is this? Hagos Hashri. The Hagos Hashri says that if the first person, the Yisrael, didn't buy it letzarach suda, he bought the knife, let's say, to cut parchment paper. He didn't buy the knife clay suda. He bought it for a different purpose, not for clay suda. So then it's not necessary to be matbil. That's the Shulchan Aruch psak. The Hagos Hashri holds that in the situation where the acquisition, right, the person acquired the kli, lachtoch klafim, to cut cloth and to cut parchment, not for suda, not to be used for food, even if it can be used for food. Even if other people acquire it for food, doesn't matter, but he acquired it not for food, so then it does not require tefillah. And then the person who is shoel that kli from him would not have to be tovo that kli either. Comes the Ramah and says, Aval harishon also leishtamish bo letzorach yisuda afilu derech harai belo tefillah. But comes the Ramah and says that the Rishon, the first individual, cannot use it derech harai. He can't use it even temporarily. One time, once in a while, to use it letzarech achila, that would be prohibited. Right? Even though he originally acquired the kli, shelo letzarech achila, it's not a klei suda. He's not going to use it for a klei suda. It doesn't matter. Even b'derech harai, he's not allowed to use it for klei suda. Explains the Shach in Sifkot Yud Zayin. Also, l'shtamish bo l'tzorach suda, avo shelo l'tzorach suda, mutar l'shtamish bo. V'avo b'shenitken l'tzorach suda, k'shenimlach olav lach l'bo klof min tzorach tefillah. The Shach points out that even if the kli is made l'tzorach suda, this is a knife that's normally used l'tzorach suda, and this guy decides, you know what, I'm gonna buy this knife to cut paper with. Right? I'm going to buy it to cut paper with. So then it doesn't matter. It doesn't require tefillah because he didn't buy letzarach suda. But since the knife is normally used letzarach suda, zok the shach, b'derech harai, one is not allowed to use letzarach suda, even though you originally acquired it, lachto klafim. Okay? So this is the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says that it is a yesh mishomer, that if the first individual acquired it, lachto klafim, not letzarach achila, so then it's not necessary to be tovel, and even someone who borrows it from him, Letzarech achila doesn't have to be tovel, because the reality is that the first individual didn't buy it letzarech suda. But says the Ramah, the first individual cannot use it even pamachas, even one time letzarech suda, because this kli was made letzarech suda. So you have every right to decide that you're not going to use letzarech suda, but you can't use it letzarech suda. You can't even use it one time b'derech harai letzarech suda. Comes the Pisrei Tshuva. Pisrei Tshuva we had earlier. Pisrei Tshuva quotes from the Shev Yaakov. Remember we had that whole discussion. Is this the Shvus Yaakov or the Shev Yaakov? So we finally concluded that it's the Shev Yaakov. It's a mistake. The Marmokum in the Yad Ephraim Shvus Yaakov, that's a mistake. You look in the Freedom Shulchan Aruch, he changes it to Shev Yaakov. And that's how the Pesach Tshuva quotes it. I am a Tshuva Shev Yaakov, Bekelem HaKvulim B'taner, V'lokchem Mimayim Chamim Shebo L'lishos Isos HaPas. Right? They take from the water, from this Kli, that the Kovea inside the Taner, and they use it for Isos HaPas. Shetzidit Lom V'shein Sorach Tfila Klal. Avimim Shel Matchis. Even though they're made out of metal, they don't need Tfila. Why? Well, because the water is not Roy L'Achila. Right? The water is not Roy L'Achila. They're going to put that into the Isa. Then it'll be Roy L'Achila. But right now it's not. He says, V'after pa'amim shofchim imayim chamin shebo tei. Aye, but sometimes they'll use the hot water for tea. And the hot water for tea is taka Roy L'Achila. You're just putting a little taste into the hot water. But you're not going to prepare it in any meaningful way. You're not going to do an afia afterwards. It's not like the water for the Isa that you have to bake the bread. Dr. Shev Yaakov, Mikamakam Holchim Acharov Tashmisha. Well, this Shev Yaakov is murdered. There's so many important inyanim here. Right? First of all, he's talking about the Kli that's Kavua Bekarka, if it's Kavua in the Tanar. So because it's not a Kli for Kabbalah's Tumah, it won't be a Kli for Tfilas Kalim either. That's his first point. But then his second point is that we follow Rov Tashmisha. So even though sometimes you're going to use this Kli, Letzorech Achila, Letzorech Suda, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Since Rov Tashmisha was not Letzarach Suda, it's not necessary to be Tova. And this is the opinion of the Pri Chodosh as well. The Pri Chodosh assumes that we follow Rov Tashmisha. Against the Ramah, the Ramah holds that we don't follow Rov Tashmisha. That what matters is what the Kli is made for. All right, let's take a look. Here. In packet 3. Can you see this... Can you see this the screen share? I hope so. All right, what does the Pri Chodosh say over here? Oh, let's shift it over a little bit. Just 1 second. Okay. What does the Pri Chodosh say? The Pri Chodosh writes like this. Oh. Kosav Isuve Heter Ha'aruch, the Sakin Kotan Shal Sofrim, Shechotim Behem Klafim, Asalechol Behem Arai Im Lo Tavlim. He quotes the Isuve Heter, that's the Ramah, that even Bederach Arai, you're not allowed to use the Sakin, that Sakin Kotan Shal Sofrim, that the Chotek Klafim. Veli Nira, says the Pri Chodosh, skipping down a little bit, Daz Lina Bekli Basar of Tashmisha. Says the Pri Chodosh, I think we should follow Rav Tashmisha. Like the Shev Yaakov. Why shouldn't we follow Rav Tashmisha? If it's normally not used for that purpose, then it's not a problem. Only if the Kli, if Rav Tashmisha of the Kli is Letzarech Achila, then there should be a Chiyav Tvila. But if Rav of the Kli is not Letzarech Achila, then even if once or twice you use it, Letzarech Achila, it's no problem at all, says the Pri Chodosh, against the Ramah. According to the Pri Chodosh, what should emerge is that if one Yisrael buys a Kli from a non-Jew, he buys it Letzarech Chatichas Klafim, he buys it not Letzarech Achila, so then this Kli does not require Tevila, and even if he'll use it once or twice, Letzarech Achila, it's not a problem. He can use it once or twice, Letzarech Achila. Someone else can use it. It doesn't matter. Because we follow Rav Tashmisha. So if Rav Tashmisha is not Letzarech Achila, this is not called Klei Suda, and it doesn't require Tefillah. The Sefer Dakei Tshuva quotes that the Pri Toar is the parish on the other side of the Pri Chodosh, the other side of the page. Right? The Or HaChaim HaKadosh wrote the Pri Toar. So, in the Pri Toar, he not only was a Gaon in Parshanut, right, in Parish of Chumash, he was a Gaon in Psak too. To the Pri Toar, in Sifkot and Yud Aleph disagrees with the Pri Chodosh. He says, Harav Baal Pri Chodosh Hela, the Matzi HaKona Atzmo Lishtamish Bo Derech Harai, the Kevin the Kano, Lachto Klafim in Holchim Bekli Elabas Rov Tashmisho Ad Kan, Ve'ein Nira Lani Yuzdaiti. The Pri Toar says, I don't think the Pri Chodosh is right. The Lo Amrinan Ein Holchim Elabas Rov Tashmisho, Eladavka B'ma the Kvar Osuhu, Amrinan the Oso Hamuat a Nechshav. What does that mean? The Pri Toar says, I do agree we go Basarov Tashmisha, but what does that mean? It means, let's say Let's say a person bought the kli. He bought the kli and he used it letzorech achila once. And then he changed his mind. He doesn't want to use that. He doesn't want to use it for achila. He's only going to use it lachtoch klafen. So says the Pritor, in that case, it doesn't require tefillah. I mean, you should have been tovel it before the first usage, but you didn't. You weren't tovel it before the first usage. So comes the Pritor and says, now that you decide to be chotech klafim, after you use it, letzorech suda, we're not going to say that, oh, the tashmish mu'at that you did defines it as clay suda, and now it requires tefillah. If mikana lahabi, you're not going to use it, letzorech suda, that's not called clay suda. We will follow rov tashmisho then. Rov tashmisho lakula. We don't say that the tashmish mu'at that you did, letzorech suda, defines the kli. But in the reverse direction, we're not going to follow rov tashmisho. Avol hishtamish b'kli l'chatchi l'tzorchi suda v'nomar, the tashmish ze botel v'ein lat bilo, lo. But to say that just because I bought it, shalo l'tzorch suda, so now if I want to use it l'tzorch suda one time, I don't have to be tovel that? Of course I have to be tovel it. Why should I say that we follow rov tashmisho? I only follow rov tashmisho if I used something l'tzorch suda, b'isser, I used it, you know, in a way that I wasn't supposed to. So that doesn't define the tashmish of the kli. If later on I change my mind, if after one time I change my mind, then it doesn't require tevila. Okay, that will follow rov tashmisho. But just because rov tashmisho is not letzorech suda, I'm not going to say that if I use it letzorech suda one time, I don't require tevila. What's the Prichadosh talking about? He says. So there's a whole back and forth between the poskim. The Ramah started off by saying that a tashmish arai letzorech achilas taka osin. That's what the Ramah says. Come the Shev Yaakov and the Prichadosh, and they say, no, we follow Rav Tashmisho. If Rav Tashmisho is Letzorech Hatichas Klafim, it doesn't matter that you're doing it Letzorech Achim. Comes the Pritar, and he says, no, maybe the Ramah is right. I admit we follow Rav Tashmisho, but in a very limited case. It's only where you use the Kli Be'issa Letzorech Suda, so then we're not going to say that defines the Kli, so much so that if you change your mind and now you want to be Chotech Klafim, and that's all you're going to use it for, that the Kli should require Tevila anyway. That's the only time that we'll say we follow Rav Tashmish when it doesn't require tefillah. But if you want to use the kli letzorech hatichas klafim, and then one time you want to use letzorech suda, vada requires tefillah, he says. Vada should require tefillah. So how do we paskin over here? What's the maskana? Let me just finish, Solomon, okay? And then I'll take the question. How do we paskin over here? So the Sefer Tevilas Kalim points out something very interesting. That if you look at the Shev Yaakov, if you look at the Ramah, the case that they're talking about is a kli that really fundamentally is used not letzorech achila, right? Is a kli? Nochma, let's. I'm sorry. The case of the Shev Yaakov. Let's talk about the Shev Yaakov. The case of the Shev Yaakov is a kli that's normally not used letzorech achila. It's a kli that we're mechaber to the tanner, and what do? We fill up the water in it, and normally the water is used for the isa. So that's not klei suda because we're not going to drink from the water. We're not going to use it for tea. We're not going to use it for tea. So if we're not going to use it for tea, says the Shev Yaakov, I think we should follow Rov Tashmisho. I think we should follow Rov Tashmisho Leheter. And even if I'm going to use it one time, Letzorech Achila, that's not a problem. That's not a problem. So from the Shev Yaakov, you get the impression that we follow Rov Tashmisho only in a case where the Kli is not really made Letzorech Achila. If the kli, if the fundamental usage of the kli would be letzorech achila, so it could very well be that we can't follow Rav Tashmisho then. Right? If you go back to the Ramah, it could very well be that if the sakin that we're talking about is not a sakin that's normally used to be chotek klafim, it's really used for achila, you just decided when you acquired it to use it for klafim, so then maybe Taka, the Ramah is right. Maybe to use it even letzorech achila one time would be a problem. We're not going to follow Rav Tashmisho in that case. Why? Because the kli, the normal usage of the kli is letzorech achila. So if the normal usage of the kli is letzorech achila, and you now want to use it letzorech achila even temporarily, then that's going to be a problem. The only heter that we have for Rav Tashmisho, according to the Shev Yaakov, perhaps that case is only talking about a situation where the kli is normally not used letzorech achila. And that's what you're using it for. It's just one time you want to use it, letzorech achila. So in that case, the Shev Yaakov is willing to be mekel to say that we follow Rav Tashmisho of the kli that's not really normally used, letzorech achila, and we'll say that you don't require tevil over here. So at least in that circumstance, perhaps there is room to be mekel. Right? Even if we're not going to follow Rov Tashmisho in all circumstances, meaning, even if we won't follow Rov Tashmisho, in the case of a kli, which is fundamentally used letzarach achila, but you decided to do something strange with it and use it not letzarach achila, so in that case, we're not going to follow Rav Tashmisho. If you decide even one time to use it letzarach achila, that might be a problem. But in the case of the Shev Yaakov, perhaps there is room to be mekel. That if you have a kli that's normally not used letzarach achila, and you decide on a one-time basis to use it letzarach achila, so perhaps that's not going to require tefillah. That's the case of the pocket knife. In the case of the pocket knife, we're talking about a kli that's normally not used letzarach achila. It's used for other purposes, but you're going to use it to peel your vegetables, to peel your apple. Well, let's say the oven racks. The oven racks are normally not used letzarach achila because they're a surface that you're going to put the pots on top of. Right? They're a surface that you're going to put the pots on top of. So if you decide to make pizza every so often in that oven, that should not require tefillah. The oven rack should not require tefillah because fundamentally it's something that's not used letzarach achila or not used in a way that I would call it a clay suda. So in such a case, we will follow Rav Tashmisha that even if you use it letzarach achila, you use it with the food, once in a while, it should not require tefillah. Okay, this is how the Tvilas Kalin, the Sefer Tvilas Kalin, wants to paskin. Putting everything together, when the dust settles, he paskins in a way that you can go with the Ramah and the Shev Yaakov, that they don't necessarily contradict each other. There's one of my different cases. The case of the Ramah is talking about a kli that's normally used letzarach achila, the way the Shach explains the Ramah. The kli was normally used letzarach achila, just you bought it for a strange purpose. So if you bought it for a strange purpose, then we're not going to be makel for you even one time to use it letzarach achila. The case of the Shev Yaakov is something that's normally not used letzarach achila. So in that case, using it one time letzarach achila is not going to be a problem. It's not going to require tefillah. Okay? So that's the psak of the pocket knives and the oven racks. It should be permissible to use the oven rack and the pocket knife on a short-term basis letzarach achila because normally it's not used for that purpose and the kli is not made for that purpose either. Okay, question. Solomon, you had a question?
Yes. So, according to the Maskana, can we use microwave plates even because it's not the Torah, because it's not Rav Tashmisho to use it like that?
So, the question is, I mean, you have to ask yourself, is it Tashmisho B'kach or not Tashmisho B'kach? You're saying most people in the world use a microwave with some kind of a separation. That's what you're suggesting.
Yeah.
Right? So then if that is true, then it would depend on the individual. If the individual is buying a microwave and he doesn't have paper plates in the dormitory, he normally just puts everything on toweling. So if this guy normally puts everything on toweling, then even if normally the glass is used with a separation, with a plate, but since this individual doesn't use it with a plate, so he's like a person who's kona itlet sorech achila. So he taka would have to be tovel with a bracha. Right? If you're a person who buys the microwave with the intention to use it with a plate, so then even if someone would use it one time without a plate, so then he would be able to use it without tevila. Correct. Right? If the microwave belongs to me and I bought this microwave with the intent to use it with a plate, so then even if someone wants to use it without the plate, it's not necessary to be tovel the glass because it's not meant for that. It's not Rav Tashmisho. Right? It's not Rav Tashmisho, and this thing is normally used with a plate. Okay, so then it would depend in part on the individual who bought the microwave. If he bought it always to be used without a plate, so then he'd be chayav and tefillah, even if you'll say that normally the microwave is taka always used with some kind of a separation, with some kind of a plate. Okay. This brings us to the next sugya. This really, this Hagos Hashri is really the transition to the next sugya. So let's begin the next sugya, which talks about what kind of kinyanim am chayav and tefillah. What do I have to acquire the kli in order to be chayev in tefillah? So let's go back to the Gemara. This Hagos Hashri is actually coming from a Gemara. Let's see the Gemara inside. Okay. What does the Gemara say? It's the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Dafayin Hamad Beis. Base. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Avua, lo shanu ela b'lekuchen u'kamaisa shahaya, aval she'ulin lo. Rav Nachman says that the only type of kelim that are chayiv in tevila are kelim that are lekuchim u'kamaisa shahaya. What's the maisa shahaya? What story? The clay midyan. Right? The clay midyan, B'nai Yisrael, acquired the kelim from midyan. So because they acquired them, and this is the source of the requirement of tefilas kelim, so we learn that tefilas kelim only applies if the kelim are lekuchim. Says Rashi, it's a little shalobim komo in the original Gemara, it's further down on the daf. Bilekuchin shenechlutu biyad Yisrael, the Klal Yisrael acquired the kelim, u'gamayisa shahaya b'midyan shayichalutim lehem liYisrael ha-kelim. The kelim were chalutim, they were completely acquired. So from that we learn that if you simply borrow a kli from a non-Jew, that's not enough to be chayiv. Borrowing a kli is not going to be chayiv. So let's say a person eats out at a restaurant that's owned by a non-Jew. He has there's a heksher on the restaurant, but the kelim are owned by the non-Jew. So according to the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, there's no chiyah for the guy to be tovel his kelim, and you can eat at the restaurant. It's kedasu kedin. There's no problem. The kelim are owned by the non-Jew. He has a heksher on his restaurant. He has a mashgiach there. But because the kelim are owned by the non-Jew, and you're simply borrowing the kli from the non-Jew, that's not a. There's no chiyav of tefillah, because the chiyav of tefillah is only if you acquire the kli from the non-Jew. Here, you're only borrowing the kli. So that's the gemara. That's the gemara. Comes Tosfos and makes it a little complicated. Let's go back to the screen share. Comes Tosfos there on Dafayin Hamad Beis, and he says, Aval Shu'ulim Lo, Omer Rabbeinu Shmuel, the Rashbam makes the following comment. Yisrael sheshoal kli mi Yisrael chaveiro shekona me oved kochavim tzorich tvila kevin sheboli dechiv tvila biyad Yisrael rishon. Comes the Rashbam and says, yes, it is true that if the Yisrael simply borrows the kli from the non-Jew, there's no chiv tvila. But let's say the Yisrael borrows the kli from another Yisrael who did acquire it from the non-Jew. Right? You have Yisrael rishon acquires the kli from the non-Jew. And then Yisrael Sheni borrows the kli from Yisrael Rishon. Zokter Rashbam, in that case, Yisrael Sheni, let's say Yisrael Rishon was not tovel the kli. The Yisrael Sheni is not allowed to use the kli until he's tovel. Because Kranes Chayiv biyad Yisrael Rishon. There is a Chayiv Tvila. Since he acquired it, there was a Kenyan. It's Lekuchim Kemais Shahay. It's not a She'ela. So then there is a Chayiv Tvila. So then the Yisrael Sheni is going to have to be tovel. And even though he only borrowed it, the Yisrael Sheni only borrowed it. It doesn't matter. The Yisrael Sheni is going to have to be tovel before his usage because the Yisrael Rishon actually acquired it. And there was a chiyav. Comes the Hagos HaShri. This is the Hagos HaShri that we mentioned. Comes the Hagos HaShri and writes like this. On the Rashbam. Right? The Rosh quotes the Rashbam too. Zok the Hagos HaShri. Avalim lokcho chavir olachto klafim velo letzorche suda. Ein tzorch lad bilo. Shere shol hu biyadam. The Hagos HaShri says, let's say the first Yisrael didn't buy it to use as clay suda. He bought it lachto klafin. So notice, there is a kinyan, it's not a she'ela. He was kone from the guy, but he was kone for a purpose that wouldn't define the clay as a clay suda. Zok the Hagos HaShri, in that case, Yisrael Sheni does not have to be tovel it before his use. The Yisrael Sheni is going to use it as clay suda, but he's only borrowing it from the Yisrael Rishon. So Zokta Hagos HaShri, since the Rishon only acquired it lachto klafim nafetzorche suda, then he doesn't have to be tovel. Then the Yisrael Sheni doesn't have to be tovel because it's sho'ul biyado. What's the Hagos HaShri saying? So let's get it clear. The Gemara Avodah Zarah was telling us that in order to be chayv in tefilas kelim, the Yisrael has to be kone from the guy. It's not enough that he's shol, he has to be kone. Comes Tosfos b'shem the Rashbam and says, let's say the first individual, Yisrael Rishon, acquires it, even though he didn't use it, he acquires it, letzorach suda, so now the Yisrael Sheni who borrows it, even though he's only shol, he has to be tovel, because it was neschayev biyad Rishon. So, the Hagos HaShri, but if the Yisrael Rishon was only kone lachto klafim, he wasn't kone letzorach suda, so then the Yisrael Sheni doesn't have to be tovel it. Right, because the original Kenyan was not Letzorech Suda, so it wasn't Neschayev Biyad Rishon. If it wasn't Neschayev Biyad Rishon, then there's no problem Biyad Sheni. There's no problem Biyad Sheni. Now, there's something interesting about what the Hagos HaShri says. You know, if I were writing his Chiddush, I would have said that if the first one acquires it Lachto Klafim, then there's no Chiyuv for the second one to be Tovel. Adkan. The Hagol Sashri adds a few words. How does he conclude? He says the second person doesn't have to be Tovel. Why? Sharei Shol Hu Biyadam. What would be the din if the first person acquires it Lachto Klafim, and then the second individual acquires it Litzarach Suda? There are two Kinyanim. The Yisrael Rishon was Kona, and the Yisrael Sheni is Kona too. But the Yisrael Sheni wasn't Kona from the guy. He was Kona from the Yisrael Rishon. What would be the din in that case, according to the Hagol Sashri? What do you think? Hagol Sashri concludes, Sharei Shol Hu Biyado. It sounds like, because there's a She'ela, somehow that makes it different. Right? What would be the din if the Yisrael Rishon acquired it from the non-Jew, Litzarach Lachto Klafim, and then the Yisrael Sheni acquires it from the Yisrael Rishon, Litzarach Suda? So that's a suffix in the Beis Yosef. Right? The Beis Yosef read the Hagol Sashri very carefully. Right? Let's take a look in the screen share. Right? You look in the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef quotes the Hagol Sashri. And he says, Vayanira li the Yisrael Shekona Kli Migoy Lischora. The Beis Yosef equates acquiring a kli l'schora for business to sell, with the case of the Hagol Sashri acquiring the kli lachto klafim. He says it's not for suda. So that's an interesting statement in itself, which we'll have to deal with. Acquiring a kli in order to sell it as kli suda. Beis Yosef says that's also lachto klafim because the first guy did not acquire it to eat with it. So he says, "Hayanira li the Yisrael shekona kli migoy l'schora imachro li Yisrael acher ena kon etzarach latbila." The kevan lo neschaya biyad arishon, shari lo haya omed elu leschora. V'dami lo ha, the hagos ha-shri, b'lo kolachto v'lo letzarach yesuda. Zok to Beis Yosef, he thinks, look, if the first one acquired it lachto klafim, the hagos ha-shri says that the second one is nachayv in tefila, so I think the same should hold true if the first one was kone letzarach schora. Even if the second one was kone from the first one. Adds the Beis Yosef, Aval Midisiyim, because of Sharei Shol Hu Biyado, Mashma Shemhaya Lakuach Biyado, Haya Chayiv Tvila. It sounds like if the second one acquired it from the first one who acquired it, Shelo Litzarach Achila, then there is a Chayiv Tvila. Vim Kain, Hu Adin Belokeach Meha Omdim Eitzel Yisrael Lischora, Kevin Shemigoy Lokchom. Says the Beis Yosef, just like in the case of the Hagol Sashri, it sounds from the Hagol Sashri that let's say the Yisrael were to be Kone from Yisrael, Chavero, who is Kone, Lachtoch Klafim, then Itaka would be Chayev in Tvila. Even though the first one was Kone, not Letzarech Suda, the second one is Chayev because he was Kone from the first one, if it's not Shol Biyado. So the same would be true by Klei Schora. The first Yisrael acquires from the non-Jew Letzarech Schora, that's not Letzarech Achila. And then the second one is Kona Letzarech Achila. Zok to Beis Yosef, it would appear, perhaps, that the Hagol Sashri would say that there is a Chi of Tvila in that case. What's he saying? Well, what's the Beis Yosef saying? What's the suffix that he has? Jehovah Shol Biyado? What's his suffix? So, Lechora, the suffix of the Beis Yosef is, what's the Pshat? What's the Hagol Sashri saying? The first one was Kona Lachtoch Boklafim. And now the second one is Shoel it from the first one. So should we say, once that individual, once the first one was Kona Lachto Klafim, so the Shem Ha'akum is Paka from the Kli. There is no Shem Akum on this Kli anymore. So there's no Shem Akum on the Kli. There's no Shem Akum on the Kli, and it was Nikne, it was acquired, not Letzarech Suda. So then this Kli was acquired, not Letzarech Suda, so then there's no Chiyo Tvila Bechlal. There's no Chiyo Tvila Bechlal. So there's no Chiyo Tvila Bechlal, then if the second Yisrael acquires the Kli from the first Yisrael, so then he acquires a Kli from a Yisrael Litzarech Suda. He's not acquiring the Kli from the non-Jew Litzarech Suda Bechlal. Maybe we should assume that once that first Mecher between the Goy and the Yisrael is done, then now the Kli is a Kli Shel Yisrael. So if the Kli is a Kli Shel Yisrael, it wasn't Chayev in Tvila when the Yisrael acquired it from the non-Jew, the first Yisrael. Now the Kli is a Kli Shel Yisrael. So when the second Yisrael acquires that from the non-Jew, he's acquiring a Kli Shel Yisrael. When the second Yisrael acquires the Kli, he's acquiring it from the Yisrael. That's a Kli Shel Yisrael. So if he acquires a Kli Shel Yisrael, there's no Chayev Tvila. But the other way to look at it is that is that when the first one acquires the kli from the non-Jew, albeit he's potter from tvila because he only acquired the kli litzarech lachto klafim, but the shema akum is not completely gone. Right? It's like a temporary ptur. It's like a dormant kind of chiyuv. The chiyuv is there. It's just there's no way to actualize that chiyuv because this first Yisrael didn't acquire it litzarech suda. But the chiyuv is dormant. So now we have to see what's the next Yisrael going to acquire it for. If the second Yisrael only borrowed the kli, so then he's not going to have a chiyuv because the first Yisrael acquired the kli litzarech, not litzarech achila. So there's no chiyuv by him. And the second Yisrael only borrowed it from the first Yisrael, so there's no chiyuv by him either. There's no chiyuv by the first Yisrael because it wasn't a kinyan litzarech achila. There's no chiyuv by the second Yisrael because there's only she'ela. But if the second Yisrael acquires it from the first Yisrael, maybe we shouldn't look at it as though he's acquiring a kli from a Yisrael. The reality is the original kli was a kli shel akum, and the ptur was only like a temporary ptur. So as long as the kli is being used, not letzorach suda, then it's going to be potter. But if the second Yisrael is going to acquire it at Bekinyan from the first Yisrael, maybe it should revert back to its original state, and we should say that it's taka chayiv and tefillah. That's the suffix that Beis Yosef has. This comment that the Hagos Hashem makes, that if the first Yisrael acquires it to be chotech klafim, and then the second one borrows it from him, right, so there's no problem. Is that only true if the second one borrows it from him, or should we say no, even if he acquires it from him? Once the first one acquired it, not letzarech suda, so then it's his kli, there's no chiyuv tefila, and now the second one is acquiring it from Yisrael, or do we say no, that chiyuv tefila is dormant? If the second one actually acquires it from him, letzarech suda, then that chiyuv will be chosev v'neir, and it will acquire the second one to be tovah.